Good morning.
Ooh,
what's love got to do with it, got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it, got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Ooh. Very good. Very good. Yeah. That's been... Pardon?
Keep your day job.
Keep my day job, yeah. Good thought. Good thought on it. I'll have you come up and sing a solo, Peter. No, I don't think we will. No. Hey, we got Miles with us today. And I talked Allie into singing too, you know. More importantly. Yeah. She came, she was just gonna be observing, you know, but then Miles started singing the tunes and I noticed Allie down there. She's just going.
She said it's not a spectator sport for her.
Not a spectator sport. It isn't. So we're glad. They're both going to be singing. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I was glad when they said, let us come to the house of the Lord. And just one other thing I wanted to mention. I didn't want to forget. Back on the back doors, you head out the main doors. I put a little poster up there. And Terry, maybe you know more about this. The wall they're bringing here, I heard. Well, we got a lot to share today, a lot to do. Let's start with a word from God in the Psalms. Psalm 100, I believe. I don't want to jump ahead of me, but yeah, there we are. That's it. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. His love endures forever. Let's rise, join, and sing. This opening song is a good one.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain.
Sing out, hallelujah.
you, Miles. Great. Join with me in prayer, if you will. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, your love is amazing. It really is. We come here and we worship and we bow down. We praise you for your love that lasts forever. But we got a little problem. We got a problem because we need that love so much. We don't always show it. And we need your help. Without your love, what would any of us be? What could we be to each other without your love? We want to think about that today, Heavenly Father. As you pour out your love to us, we pray that your Spirit might ignite in us a love for each other and, of course, an eternal love of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. One small reading from John. A new commandment, Jesus says, I'm going to give you. You know, we had the old Ten Commandments, and Jesus, he brought a new commandment by way of his life, a whole new commandment. And it's a little different commandment, but it's the one commandment. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's the word of God. We join in our next song. Give me words to speak.
Callous and bruised, dazed and confused. My spirit is left wanting something more. My selfish hopes, my selfish dreams. I'm lying with my face down to the floor, crying out for more. I'm crying out for more. Give me words to speak. Don't let my spirit sleep. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Please be seated. What's love got to do with it? It's not just a song. It's not just a song. It's a question. It's a question that many people have asked, trying to cope and come to terms with their life, with a relationship with somebody else, as they deliberate over the choices that are right in front of them, as they struggle to be happy in life, the struggle between their selfishness and the relationship. One guy, a lawyer, over 2,000 years ago, he asked the same question, what's love got to do with it? In his own way, to Jesus, not even knowing it. Because Jesus' answer to him went something like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer's question was, what must I do to have eternal life? The lawyer was trying to show how smart he was by asking a most complicated question. But to his surprise, Jesus gave an answer that was simple, down to earth, ordinary, common sense. Love is the key to life, my friend, now and forever. Love is the key to life. Jesus knew that we can get lost in all kinds of stuff when we're trying to make a life for ourselves, trying to make a name for ourselves, a legacy, if you will, for ourselves. But the key and core ingredient of life is love. It's love. So the lawyer stammers and stutters with a red-faced kind of response. Who is my neighbor? He says. So Jesus tells a story, a most unforgettable story about an injured guy who's lying half dead along a road. It was the road that led from Jericho to Jerusalem. The crowd begins to get a little bit uneasy, though, as Jesus unfolds the characters of his story when he starts talking about a priest and a temple assistant who pass by this guy lying in the road, not stopping to help him at all. They are too important. Perhaps they are too busy, in a hurry maybe to go to some religious convocation that was being staged in Jerusalem. Too holy to touch this stranger in the night beside the road and be contaminated. I would imagine that some of the people listening to the story were nodding their heads in total agreement with these guys who passed by on the other side, because that's what they would have done. No second thought about it. That's what they would have done. It is then that Jesus brings into this story someone that they don't like. He brings in a Samaritan. He too was walking down this same road, and he comes to this guy lying there, half dead along the way. Now the Jewish people, they did not like Samaritans. They had nothing to do with Samaritans. Samaritans were trash. They're garbage. They did not associate with Samaritans, talk with Samaritans. Samaritans would be the enemy in any story that they would tell. He would be the butt end of the joke for any joke they would share. But this is the guy that Jesus says stopped. He stopped right where he was. And he bandages up the wounds. He takes care of this guy. He looks him over carefully. He places him on his own donkey. And he takes the stranger, probably a Jew, in the mind of the hearers, and they're trapped. A Samaritan helping a Jew. And he takes him to the inn where he pays for the guy's continued care. I think you know the story. As Jesus finishes the story, the revealing of the unexpected hero in the story must have hushed the crowd, just like Jesus silenced the lawyer with his question before, giving the answer about eternal life being rooted in love. And in that love, Jesus turns to the lawyer and he asks the most loving question. Which of these three would you say was showing himself as neighbor? Stunned, the lawyer forgets about being impressive or intellectual and says what only makes sense. Well, I suppose the guy that helped the guy lying half dead in the road, I suppose. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? In the story that Jesus tells by way of this parable, if it does not capture every fiber of your being to help change the way you look at others, nothing will. I don't even think Mr. Rogers would help you. Two things pop out here for me right away. Number one, Jesus shows the value of loving everyone. And number two, Jesus speaks to the value of loving someone. Many people may quickly agree that we should love everyone. Oh, that's just, yes, love everyone. But not so many may be found loving someone like the guy half dead on the road who had absolutely nothing to offer. And, well, is someone that we quite frankly don't like. How many times do we walk by them? Maybe this will be the 21st time. Maybe.
Wasted it all. His face is a photograph burned in my mind, but I pretend not to see him for the 21st time. He sleeps under stars, that's all he can afford. His blankets and old coat he's had since the war. He stands found it in him. He gave to me, now I
21st time. The parable of the Good Samaritan begs for you to see that we cannot limit the extent of our love. Anytime I take the word neighbor to make it smaller, to some smaller group than everyone, I am missing what Jesus is saying here totally. And hearing the story again today, I am reminded that it is so easy to limit our love. To take the word neighbor and apply it just to here or just to there. Not inclusive of everyone. Jesus said it in another way, at a different time, different place. He said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This is the love that brings life. The key and core ingredient to life is love. This is the love that brings life. This is God's kind of love. This is the kind of love that flows from God. God's love is in everywhere, everyone, all the time kind of love. Human love, the kind of love that we have, is some people, some places, some of the time kind of love. We know this, we live this, and the Bible is forever reminding us of that truth. The story that Jesus tells here invites us to welcome the love that brings life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. So what is the point that Jesus is bringing home to us as he tells this story and invites us to love when we find ourselves so often filled with prejudice and discrimination and limiting our love so often, when we become activists at Yale and Harvard and Columbia or any other school, hundreds of different campuses across this nation of ours? I know it is true. It is true. Some of us love better than others when it comes to human love. But God's point is not that this is a contest here as to who can be better at loving than somebody else. As might have been the lawyer's conclusion, putting down others in order to lift himself up, making them look bad so he looks great. No, because none of us are able to express God's kind of love by way of our own power. And that is the point. The complete point that is before us today. God wants us to depend on him for the power to love so that we might find life now. And boy, do we need it. And forever. God wants and he seeks through his power to love to work miracles in us. God wants and seeks through his power to love to work miracles in our relationships. God wants and seeks through his power to love to have us make a difference in this world as we deal with the differences that we have that divide us. And his answer to all of this, for this to happen, is revealed by way of him who comes and stops at the place we find ourselves in our world and looks at us with great concern and sees our wounds and seeks to heal and bandage them and to bring healing by way of everything he can do and pay the price for our salvation, for the healing we need now and forever. God so loved the world, he gave. But it's not just our differences. Not just our differences that stand in the way of this love being displayed and shown to others. It is our fears. Ooh, what's love got to do with it, got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Ooh. It's our fear. It's the fear we have inside of us of having a broken heart, not having a heart good enough. It's fear. Don't miss this in the parable. The Jews of Jesus' day understood it absolutely clearly, too well. It is a great risk for anyone to stop and help someone along that road. It was a treacherous road, a most dangerous road. The old trick was to lie on the road, acting as though you're hurt, you're wounded, while the rest of the gang hid in the bushes, waiting for some good Samaritan to come along so they could jump him, beat him up, maybe kill him, and take his loot. The two who passed by on the other side knew, as the hearers themselves thought, that it was risky business to stop along this road. And so doing that, not stopping, was excusable, totally understandable. And being that they were religious men, Jesus was pointing out another fear. If a religious man stopped to help and touch someone who had blood all over their body, they themselves would be ceremonially unclean. They'd have to not go to their convention. They couldn't perform their religious functions being unclean. They'd have to go through a rigmarole to get cleaned up. And so they could not be reckless with their actions, because that would affect their religious duty. What would people think? Associating with them. It's always a risk to love. First century or 21st century, it is a risk to love. Samaritan, American, Iranian, Mexican, it's a risk to love. Whether we are on the road to Jericho, Chicago, Los Angeles, or Tel Aviv, it is a risk to love. C.S. Lewis, great theologian and author, scholar, he wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. So you give your heart to no one. You wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness." Ooh. So no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm not going there. I'm not going to let it happen. Not me. It's too painful. But let me tell you, if you choose not to love, not only will you still be hurting and missing out perhaps on something that is absolutely wonderful, but others will be hurting as well, because you won't take the risk. You won't go there. Not loving does not bring life. That is absolutely true. Not loving does not bring life. Not loving will undoubtedly be painful to you and to someone else, and will leave you always alone. That's where you want to be. God knew that. And that is why Jesus did what he did. He sees you. He sees me, and he saw what would happen if he would take his life, give it his all, do what he had to do for us, put it all into action. He saw that was all that would scare anyone and everyone, but he didn't hold back. It didn't stop him. For all of the fear that anyone would have, it didn't stop him. He went forward. He risked it all by allowing himself to be trashed, beaten, crucified, strung up, and die. Oh, the reckless love of God.
I spoke. so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Early, overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Love it chases me. Your fault, still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, or lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Miles, Allie, thank you. Please be seated. So Jesus says to his disciples, love one another, even as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Notice that Jesus does not say here, people of North Point, love as Pastor Al loves. Nor does he say, Pastor Al, love as the people of North Point. No, he says, love as I love. What a challenge. What a challenge that is. Personally, it's too much for me. And I would imagine that you would say very much the same thing. Now, maybe if I had the power of Jesus, well, then maybe I could do it. That's the point, isn't it? That's the whole point. Our relationship with each other does not stand a chance without our relationship to Jesus and all that he wants to give us, all that he wants us to have, all that he wants to give of himself to you today. I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you came. Jesus says to us today, don't try to lower the standard of how you love by comparing yourself to others. You see, we are tempted to twist what Jesus gives us as a challenge to love as he loves into loving as best I can, as well as I can, as loving at least as good as you or someone else. That's not the challenge. That's not the point. By giving us such a great challenge, Jesus wants us to realize that the most important thing in life is not trying to make it on our own or trying even to be competitive, which so many of us fall into the trap of doing all of the time, but to make it with him. It's the only way we can make it because he is the way and the truth and the life. And that's why I had those banners made right up there as you leave. You can't miss them. Looking up, that says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So that when you leave, you know what to go with. You go with him as the way, the truth, and the life. Your relationship with Jesus has everything to do with your relationship with others. And that's how you can love like Jesus. You know, when you think about it, Jesus was fond of giving this kind of a challenge. He gave all kinds of challenges when you think about it. As you look through the Gospels, you see Jesus giving all kinds of challenge to us as his people. And in those challenges, he always invites us as his followers to see God's power as the only answer to the challenge. Pour out your heart in prayer, and this mountain will be thrown into the sea. Peter, I see you there on shore, walking along. I see you there. I'm here in this boat. Come to me. Come on. Come on. Walk on the water, Peter. Remember? These seem like impossible challenges for any of us to even think about. There is another one that I think is most important that hits directly upon us when we think about our relationship to others, to each other, especially when we are struggling in that relationship and it doesn't seem to be moving the way we want it to move, as fast as we would like it. And we come to ask, how many times do I have to forgive? How many times? I'm worn out here. I don't know if I can do it again. I've had it. I've been trying to work with this person for so long. I've given a lot of myself. I put a lot into it. I don't know how many times do I have to keep doing this? Jesus was teaching in Capernaum, a beautiful little city in the north end of the Sea of Galilee. He was talking about a lot of things to his disciples, but one thing seemed to stand out: the importance of forgiving. So Peter hears all of this. He hears Jesus talking about this, and he begins to think in his mind. And he pulls Jesus aside, and he says, I got a little personal thing here I want to talk to you about. Maybe it had to do with that whole idea of forgiveness, and maybe it was so personal that it had to deal with his brother Andrew and forgiving him. I don't know. Who knows? But Peter wanted to ask about a number of things, but one thing in particular, how many times should I forgive? Peter asks. Now, Peter knew that the teachers of the law in his day, they had a prescription here for all of us who like to follow the letter of the law and make us think that we're doing something that's important and doing right and certainly doing enough. And that was that you needed to forgive someone, they taught, at least three times. Three times was required, definitely required, to forgive another person. Peter knew this. He knew the teaching well. With probably more than just a little desire to impress Jesus, though, Peter, he comes up and he says to him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Sly old Peter, seven times. Now, behind his word could have easily been the thought, everyone is saying three, but I'm going to say seven to Jesus. He'll think like I'm really super at this whole idea of love. I know exactly what he's talking about. He might have anticipated that Jesus was going to praise him for setting the bar of faith to such a stratospheric height. More than twice that was expected. Great are you, Peter, at loving. Oh, I'm impressed with you, Peter. But Jesus' response must have absolutely floored Peter. I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven, remember, Peter? It's as though Peter said, I'll set the bar high, Jesus, 7 feet. I can do that. And Jesus responded, Peter, try 7 miles. Why would Jesus do this? It seems that it would only discourage Peter. Peter was saying, I'll try to do my hardest, Lord. And Jesus responds, do the impossible. Not your hardest. Do the impossible. Is the point becoming clearer to you? Jesus does not want you to try your hardest. Jesus wants you to learn to trust him, rely on him. Jesus set the bar so high that the only way it could be reached was by living and thinking in an entirely new and different way. Not about what I can do or what I should do, but about all that he could do and will do. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the new commandment. Love as I have loved you. Christianity, I know this is going to shock some of you Roman Catholic Christians. Christianity is not about trying harder. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. As Lord, King of Kings, Son of God, Son of Man, Savior, trusting Jesus. But make no mistake about it, it is not a passive trust, sitting and waiting and praying to God for him to act. No, it's a real trust involving your whole heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. We have all been there like Tina Turner, and we have found that we are tired of putting our heart into it. We're worn out because our heart seems to be broken. Let me tell you, God's heart is not broken. No matter how many times you and I disappoint him, fall short of being what we should be, seem to be blowing up the relationship every time. God, no. His heart is not broken. So I say, the greatest difficulties of life, they offer us the greatest opportunities to trust him who will do far more than we could ever imagine. Pray with me. Father, I am so glad that I can call you my Father, that you make my relationship with you possible, that I would be your dear child. I don't have the strength to do this on my own when it comes to loving. I know that. I see that. I'm trusting in your strength to enable me to believe and think and say and be all that you desire me to be and do the right thing. Your love is the answer. It is the key to my life, Jesus. So in your name, I pray. Amen. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please, please? Won't you be my neighbor? Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen. During the offering, I was reminded, you know, that was a great song you sang before the message today. Give me words to speak. In fact, as I was listening to it yesterday, preparing for today and getting inspired, I always like to listen. You know, nothing inspires me more than being here early at church and hearing like Miles and Allie or my son or Pete and Kim going through the songs. That's where the worship comes for me, really. That gets me going so I can be ready for you. But that song, Give Me Words to Speak, I spent all day yesterday doing a sermon just with that thought in mind, of course, understanding that the whole theme is, what's love got to do with it? You know, give me words to speak. And it just made me think about our communication. Oh, give me words to speak, you know. So I did a whole message on that yesterday. And I think I'm going to share it on Mother's Day because, well, my mom so often helped me to find the right words to speak. And maybe your mom was like that too. I don't know. But it's sort of all tied together for me in that way. So I'm looking forward to that. And Mother's Day as well. That's a great day for worship, by the way. Bring somebody. We have a breakfast following that service. Mickey's getting involved in that. I don't know, is Mickey still here? Or did he? Oh, there he is. He's standing there. Oh, yeah, he's getting ready for communion. Okay, yeah. So he's going to be doing the breakfast with his team, right? And you're going to get that. So that's on Mother's Day, right after worship. And then one other thing, I know this is a big week, and I know there's a lot of celebration going on over something. Let's see, Cinco de Bunko, that's it, Bunko. That's May 2nd, right? That's this week. That's Thursday. Oh, wow, yeah. You want to learn to love someone? Play Bunko with me. Yeah, no. Okay. Anyway, so that's what's happening. Come this week to that. It'll be great. But right now, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. It was after supper. He gave thanks. He gave it to them, and he said, take and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with all of you always. Welcome to the table of the Lord.
Trying to feed into the face.
Thank you for this day, for the opportunity that we have to allow your word to speak to our hearts. Our hearts sometimes have given up on us, and we have given up on our heart. But you never fail to come to charge us, to inspire us, to remind us that you love us tremendously, so much so that we can be empowered to love somebody else, to love everyone. Heavenly Father, by your grace, you gave forth your Son that he would die for the world. Use us as your ambassadors. Every little thing that we do has great purpose when it comes to where our hearts are at. So make our hearts on fire by your Spirit, by your purpose, by your resolve. Use us. We pray for those who are struggling with health. We pray for those who are, well, like in hospice, like Jackie Picard, like, well, Evelyn. We pray that you would reach out to those that you love so deeply. You find them wherever they might be, along the road, anywhere. Sometimes we pass them by. Lord, use that moment to glorify you by way of using us. Even as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of you always. Amen. We close with a song that's one of my favorite that Miles does so well. And he's going to do it now. Love never fails.
Love always.
Love is the way, the truth, the life. Love is a river that flows through. Love is the arms that are holding you. Love is the place that you fly to. Love never fails you.